This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Rushen and Noel. Now, it is in about half an hour, we're going to be speaking with James Teo, transportation analyst over at Bloomberg Intelligence, on the fate of the aviation industry amid the disruption caused by the coronavirus. But in the meantime, we're taking a look at the political situation here in Malaysia, because history is set to be made today as all eyes are on the KL High Court, which is expected to decide whether former Prime Minister Datuk Seri Najib Razak is guilty or not guilty of the charges in the SRC international trial. Now, Najib is the highest ranked politician in the country to be charged in court. He just turned 67 as well last Thursday.
So SRC was a company under 1MDB and has since been placed under the finance ministry. The SRC trial is one of five criminal trials related to 1MDB that involves Najib Razak. And this is quite an occasion before Malaysia, as it was widely believed that his involvement with 1MDB was this has all been led to the fact that the turnout in GE14 and how things played out there. But really, with the way things are right now, everyone's going to be paying attention to this, because either way, there are going to be implications to whatever verdict comes out at 10 a.m.
Yes, and we're going to be watching that verdict very closely indeed. But in the meantime, for a bit of a recap on the SRC international trial so far, we have on the line with us Revathi Subramaniam, producer at the Malaysian Insight. Ray, thank you for joining us. Could you set the stage? What are the charges facing Najib, and what could he be in for should he be found guilty?
Good morning, Lynn. Good morning, Roshan. So, as you mentioned, this is a very high-profile case. This is also the country's first criminal trial involving a former prime minister. So, in SRC, Najib is facing seven charges. He's accused of receiving 42 million ringgit in SRC funds in his private accounts at AmBank. And the seven charges constitute three counts of criminal breach of trust, three counts of money laundering, and one count of abuse of power. And if he is convicted today, he faces up to 20 years in jail. So those are the charges for SRC.
How compelling is the evidence against Najib to find him guilty?
I don't know. That's really up to the judge to decide. He has received 2,000 pages of submissions from both the prosecution and defense, and he would have read them. And of course, he heard from 70 over witnesses from both sides. So we'll have to wait and see what the judge comes up with. So I can't speak to how compelling the evidence is because I'm not a judge.
What's the sentiment you're feeling on the ground? Do people think he will get a stay of execution, or maybe he'll be found guilty, or he might actually walk free today?
Well, of course, his supporters are very positive, and of course, his lawyers are very positive that he might walk free today. But then there are those who think the people who have a negative sentiment in the sense that, oh, the change in government might affect how he's being sentenced. But again, we never know. And of course, the executive and the judiciary is different. Nobody should interfere with anyone's work. It will be determined later. We'll have to wait and see.
Now, you've been covering this case since it started. What were the main highlights throughout the coverage of the SRC trials?
Well, the trial went on for 14 months, so there were a lot of interesting moments. And of course, there were so many witnesses. But for me, what really stood out was how the banking system didn't pick up on all these transactions that were going on. Because all these bankers came as witnesses, and they tell you, like, okay, this much money was transferred from here, and all this money trail. And you're sitting there wondering, we're not talking about a few hundred ringgit or whatever. This is hundreds of millions of dollars and ringgit, and nobody caught on as to what was happening. So that was quite shocking that the banks weren't aware or didn't flag this transaction. And of course, the other thing that was very interesting was hearing how the 42 million ringgit was spent. They were spent to buy luxury jewelry in Italy, a hotel, stays in Bangkok, shopping at Chanel boutiques in Hawaii. And of course, the other aspect was it was used for media monitoring leading up to the general election. And political espionage and so many more. The list is quite extensive. Yeah, but those are the few things that really stand out to me.
So what about the change in government? Did that affect the trial proceedings in any way that you could observe?
And not that I can see. The judge has been very fair from the start. I mean, in how he runs his courtroom, there has been no change that I can see. And of course, as I mentioned, the change in government should not affect how this case is being how it's being conducted, because again, the executive and the judiciary are separate, so it shouldn't affect how the course of the case.
So you think that he's getting a fair trial?
I'm just a journalist looking in. I mean, to me, it looks like he's getting a fair trial, but from his point of view, he probably thinks he isn't. So I can't speak to what he thinks, but this is just my observation.
And of course, you know, this is only one of the many court cases that Dato' Sri Najib is facing due to the 1MDB situation. How is the progress with the other cases? What are your thoughts on those?
So, of course, there are the two that are still ongoing. That's the 1MDB one, and SRC is, of course, is a subsidiary. The 1MDB trial is going on right now, so it's the audit tampering case. I think both cases still have a lot of witnesses to go through. And it will probably be some time before we get to the stage where we get a verdict or anything of that kind. And, of course, depending on the judgment today, whether he's found guilty, and if he is found guilty, he will, of course, appeal, and that will take time. So, yeah, it's just because SRC is ending doesn't mean that Najib doesn't have to go to court. There's still a few proceedings that he will have to go through.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning, Ray. That was Revathi Subramaniam, producer at the Malaysian Insight, giving us a bit of a recap on the SRC International trial so far. Because, as she pointed out, it has been over a year by this point that this trial has been ongoing. And after a while, the details do somewhat start to blur together, especially since there are multiple trials going on at the same time.
Yes, that's true. But I think it pays to just, keep watch what's going on rather than just form a judgment immediately. I think the point here is that even though it's possible that either verdict he gets guilty, not guilty, stay of execution, it looks like this case will still continue to drag out. There will be appeals on either side. And even if he is acquitted of these seven charges, he still has to face four other criminal proceedings under 1MDB. So, it's still not game over for Najib. He still has to be on his toes, I guess, legally speaking.
Yeah, and actually, we've got a poll running on Twitter right now. And regardless of the trial outcome, do you think Dato' Sri Najib Razak has rehabilitated his reputation? Now, I've personally noticed a change in the way that he has been communicating, or the way what he says. He's actually become quite witty on social media. And really, right now, if we take a look at the poll results, 62% say that they don't think he has rehabilitated his reputation. 16% say yes. 7% say they don't know. And 15% don't care about the situation at hand here. But really, I think this is just something I've personally noticed as well. The way he also presents himself. Also, just I think being in government and the prime minister versus being opposition kind of puts you in a different light, and it gives you different things you can work with.
Yeah, certainly Najib still has his fair share of supporters, right? People who still look up to him, no supporters.
Yeah, I remember speaking with Mohsin Abdullah a few months ago on the subject of the ongoing trials on pressing matters, and asking him, why is it that we're starting to see Najib Razak's supporters come out in even stronger droves, following the 1MDB scandal, following the change in administration at that time to Pakatan Harapan. And he had an interesting observation, which is that it comes down to a kind of a culture of if you're down, you don't need to kick them any further, right? So Najib has come out to be, he's become a lot more candid on social media, presumably because he's no longer in government. He doesn't need to watch what he says quite so much. And it's whether or not these cases eventually will start to see, precede a return to politics for Dato' Sri Najib Razak. That's at the end of the day what I'm going to be watching out for.
Yeah, and this I think reminds me of the first time they raided his house, right? And the photos that came out from that, it made him look very sympathetic that they were raiding the house at 4 a.m. in the morning. They didn't need to do that. Why are you kicking this person while they're down? I think that really shifted a lot of the narrative there.
Yeah, I suppose. And also over the weekend, I think they were inspecting 400 watches and 300 handbags that were raided, that were found in the premises that they raided.
Yeah, so this is something that we're going to be watching very closely, and we'll be bringing you updates as we get them as well out of the KL High Court. But right now we have the 7:30 News Bulletin up next, and then we'll be speaking with Ed Clissold, Chief US Strategist at Ned Davis Research, on the US stimulus package. That's happening after the news. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.